Hello and welcome to a brand new series, ESG, A Bridge to Action, in partnership with PwC on moneycontrol.com. This is a destination for all those companies who are looking to launch their ESG strategy, to learn from the companies who have already embarked on the journey of building sustainable businesses. Let me welcome on our launch episode, Sanjeev Krishan of PwC and Kaushik Chatterjee of Tata Steel. Gentlemen, so good to have you on the show. Now, before we start our discussion, let me first get a note from Ajay Piramal, the chairman of Piramal Enterprises, on their group strategy on ESG.
So clearly, this is a very important area of focus. And you know, this has been just highlighted so much more during the COVID time. You've seen how sustainability is such an issue and the difference it has made. So we are also focused on it. Let me say that in pharma in particular, our ESG focus has always been there, and we are only increasing it now over the next few years. Besides that, when I look at the financial services, besides looking at ESG on our own, we're also thinking of floating an ESG fund because I think this is where the world needs to go, and there will be much more focus on this.
All right, so Piramal Group is also looking at launching an ESG fund, as told to us by Ajay Piramal. Now, Sanjeev, over the last 1.5 years of the pandemic, the sustainability thrust and the compliance to ESG has become a very big buzzword in corporate India and across the world. Why has it gained in prominence, according to you?
Thanks, Nisha, and welcome, everyone. So, Nisha, in response to your question, I think it's just about stakeholder capitalism, I would say. You know, when we look at the stakeholders at large, we look at the shareholders or providers of finance, so to speak, and most of them are looking at long-term sustainable growth as opposed to any short-term gains. And this is being manifested, whether it is private money, whether it is public money. Everybody is looking at corporations who are focusing on the broader ESG agenda. If you look at wider stakeholders, whether you look at government, you look at regulators, you look at vendors, customers, they today want greater accountability and greater responsibility from their ecosystem. So if you look at the wider ecosystem, the stakeholder ecosystem, each one of them wants focus on ESG. And this is really driving the broader focus at this moment. Let me say two more things. You know, when you think about ESG, I also look at it as a broad value creator. Today, most corporations are, you know, putting an additional lens on this when they're thinking about this business strategy, because I think it can get you resiliency, it can get you long-term sustainable value, it can actually create an authentic identity for the corporation, and it can generate trust.
A very good representation on the panel when we talk about resilience over the years and also building sustainable businesses, because both PwC as well as Tata Group and Tata Steel are about 100 years old, and that requires a certain sense of discipline as well as also social consciousness. So Kaushik Chatterjee, given the kind of ethos that Tata Group brings in for the company, and you have yourself championed the cause of sustainability for Tata Steel on various global fora as well, what is the plan for your company and the road ahead?
Thank you, Nisha, and hi, Sanjeev. Great to be on this panel. Actually, you know, we live in the world of outages. Given this unseasonal floods and cyclones and drought and the pandemic that we are living through and other forms of disruptions which are severely impacting our daily lives in the world. Humanity is not prepared on the mitigation, and business disruptions are becoming a part of a new normal. And business enterprises are also a very important part of this entire broader ecosystem. Hence, we have to essentially decide on the purpose of the corporation. And that's what as Tata Group and as Tata Steel over the last 100 years since the founders' vision of what comes from the society must go back to the society. ESG is essentially a reframing of that. And I think it is important that business corporations must realize that we cannot just profit from the planet. We have to balance the profit from the planet and the nature, because there are no artificial boundaries for the nature. It doesn't recognize nation states. We live in one world. And ESG is essentially a very broad subject. And I wouldn't say it's a buzzword. It is actually, it identifies the soul of a corporation, how it looks, how it behaves, how it develops its own strategy, and how does it look at the future. So I think for us, we have embedded in our DNA in some form the entire ESG as a concept. And for Tata Steel, which started more than 100 years back, it is essential to recognize that we operate in one of the remotest and less developed regions in the country. To work with the community, to work for the environment, to work along with the community is very, very important. And it is important today, over the last decade or so, that there are more structured frameworks which has come and helped corporations become tools for corporations to measure ESG. For example, the UN Sustainability Development Goals framework is a very robust framework on which you can measure what is relevant for an organization, what does the organization get impacted by, and how does the organization impact the society. And if you look at those 17-point structure, you can actually assess the relevance of each of them on the company, and then develop KPIs and move on a defined basis for the next 5 years, 10 years in your long-term strategy. So that's how we look at it. It's institutionalized and everything is embedded around the strategy.
Sanjeev Krishan, you know, that many companies have come out with big announcements and showcasing their ESG thrust now. In fact, they have ambitious targets towards net zero emission of carbon as well. How much of it is actionable? And do we have enough tools? And what could be the challenges on the ground?
So, Sanisha, first of all, it's great to see so many companies actually putting their hand up and so many nations putting their hand up. I think it's great. And as Kaushik said, and as we've been discussing earlier, I think providers of capital are driving it, wider stakeholders are driving it. I do believe that there is some very tangible action happening on the ground, on each of the elements, whether it is environment, whether it is social and governance. And, you know, these are areas where, it's almost becoming an imperative for organizations. So it is not just about a thing which is good to do. It is about business and it is about long-term value. There is some very, very tangible action which is happening at corporates. People are looking at their supply chains. How do they make sure that the supply chains, some of them are trying to domesticate their supply chains. But it is not just about domestication. It is also about making sure that they are going to make supply chains which are sustainable. Everybody who's in their ecosystem, is he ESG compliant? Is that vendor ESG compliant? How do they make that entire supply chain and the distribution network ESG compliant? So these are very significant changes which are happening as companies are trying to transform. The other thing which I would like to say is, how socially responsible many organizations are being at this point in time. They are acknowledging diversity. We always keep saying that diversity in thought gets you the best actions, and those actions result in best results. Companies are embracing diversity at a very differentiated pace today, which is all very good. And of course, governance, which is something which has been a focus for many corporations over the years, and they're taking many more steps at it. I think two things I'd like to say before I end. One, even as organizations take a lot of tangible steps and CXOs and boards realize the importance of ESG and they are being driven, I think the broader ecosystem of ESG and how they can use various facets of innovation, technology, even availability of finance, I think the understanding of some of these aspects are still developing at this point in time. I think we will get there, but that's something which is happening. The other thing really is that some of it is going to come at some cost in the interim. I mean, when you change your supply chain and make it more environment friendly or ESG friendly, there is going to be some near-term cost. So you might see a spike in your cost, and that's something that you'll have to deal with.
It's an investment in the future. So that's the way to look at it. But Kaushik Chatterjee, you know, reporting disclosures are extremely important. Those templates are still to be formulated. What do you have to say about the non-financial ESG factors and their disclosures?
Yeah, so I think it all starts from the fact that the financial stakeholders, be it asset owners or asset managers or banks and financial institutions, and now gradually to central banks who have now formed a coalition in GFS, I think it is important to understand that reporting and disclosure is a critical anchor around the whole ESG platform. The fundamental reason being that unless you measure, unless you define, unless you kind of get to a material level of disclosure, the stakeholders would not be aware of how a company is planning and implementing their ESG strategy. What are the risks and opportunities for those strategies? And that's become very critical for the financial stakeholders, because there may be a time in the future, not too late in the future, where you would have banks who would want to know how does the biodiversity platform look like of a project which you want to engage in before they lend, or if a proxy advisory firm or a analyst need to understand what's the climate action targets that you have taken and how clearly has this been disclosed in the financial statements or in the corporate reporting statements. So this has become a very critical part of the whole platform. And with IFRS setting up in the journey of standard setting in non-financial area, I think the financial and non-financial reporting will converge very soon. And it will be one corporate reporting based on which will be integrated and which will give the readers or the stakeholders a better understanding. We have been publishing integrated reports for the last 5 years on the integrated reporting framework of the IIRC. And we see now the Value Reporting Foundation being formed with a combination of SASB and IIRC. So there is a lot of standard setting process which is coming in, because it's important to get to the definition, get to the materiality, get to the standards and the level of disclosure for the purpose of comparability and for the purpose of assessing what actually a company is doing. So reporting and disclosure is fundamental to the entire ESG space.
All right. And that particular framework in terms of comparisons as well as coming up with a template for disclosures is still evolving. We'll learn along the journey, but it's a great enriching experience to have both of you, Sanjeev, as well as Kaushik, on the panel to understand the whole ESG framework and especially what Tata Steel is working on. Thank you so much for joining us. And with that, it's a wrap on the show. Remember that Road to Sustainability has begun and ESG is the new normal.